So these past few days, we've been traveling through the Gospel of Mark. And so this morning, we read our Easter story from the Gospel of Mark. Listen for God to speak to you through these words. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Then very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is the message for you this morning. Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was crucified. He has been raised, and he is gone before you. This is the good news. Amen. You were expecting more? That's my April Fool's for you. I think I saw that it was 60 years ago since we've had Easter on April Fool's Day. And for a preacher, this is the best day to have Easter morning, right? Because it's an unexpected day. It's a day that even though we know the story, we are still surprised by the story, right? Now, as a preacher, you knew that I would not be able to sit down with just that, right? You expected me to be able to get up and preach a sermon to you today. And more importantly, I want to speak to you today because I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of Jesus Christ and his love. But we need to look at Mark's story first, right? And Mark's story of the Easter morning seems a little bit of an April Fool's, don't you think? There's not much to it, a whole 8 verses. Now, there are other verses that were added later on, later centuries, with people who were not happy with the way that Mark ended the gospel. But the original gospel ends right here, with no sign of Jesus, just an empty tomb, and the message that he has risen and gone before them to Galilee. And even more suspiciously and uncomfortably, the women leave the tomb in terror and amazement and tell no one. Feels like we need more, right? But before we can talk about the resurrection, we need to back up a little bit to where we've been this week, and more importantly, to where the disciples and Jesus have been in this previous week. To the cross. Because there is no resurrection without the cross. There is no life, new life for us without death. So if we go back to the cross, we see that Jesus, the one that we've been following through this season and for all our life, has been crucified, executed. For what? For healing the people? For preaching peace and forgiveness? For building the kingdom of God and calling people to participate in it? For speaking the truth to power and challenging the status quo. For calling people to task for their hypocrisy and their prejudice, their tyranny and their violence. For inviting people to live a life of love. For this he was executed. Crucified nonetheless. Dying a horrible, painful, public death. And if that's not enough, he is taken down and placed in a borrowed grave without so much as a, how do you do, no memorial service, no time to prepare the body, a borrowed grave. And here we are at the third day. The disciples are scattered. The women have decided they need to attend to the body. Some suggest it's because the women were most faithful. To be quite honest, I don't think they were any more faithful than the other disciples. They just had a duty to perform. In fact, maybe they just couldn't quite let go. We know how that is. But they go anyway, without any thought, until they near the tomb about this large stone. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to move it. Now, there's three of them, but still, who will be there to help move the stone? They're almost there. And when they arrive, what's happened? But the stone is already moved away. And there sits a man in white raiment. We know what that is, right? This is a messenger from God. This is an angel that has come to share with them the good news. Only, as usual, when God sends an angel, even when it's good news, there's this moment of stepping back, of saying, yes, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Right? There's a fearfulness. But that's what Easter is. It's the big but. That didn't come out right. Perhaps I want to say better, what Easter is the great April Fools. Right? Because they think that they have ended Jesus, and this thing that God is doing, that Jesus proclaimed in the world. Right? This is the great April Fools, for God is already bringing a new day. We were told in Mark, the day is dawning. God has already moved away the stone. Jesus has already been raised when they get there. He is going ahead of them. He is already out in the world. This is the good news of Easter morning. Not that anybody believed or anybody was faithful, but that God did this thing for us. Easter morning is about what God is doing in the world. Playing a great big joke on those who thought they had power. Right? Those who thought they could keep people in their place by threats and violence. Those who think you can keep oppressed people down that they won't rise up. Those who imagine that a God of love is not powerful, is not surprising, is not persistent. This is God. And God will not be defeated. God continues to surprise us with opportunities and possibilities and signs of new life and transformation and resurrection. Right outside my garage is a patch. I can't really say it's flowers. There are some flowers in there. There are weeds. There are grass. The most persistent thing there is thistles. And each fall, I try to kill it. I put weed and grass killer on it. I go out and dig it up. In fact, last year I spent 2-3 days digging up this patch. And it's as if God is playing this great big trick on me when I come around the corner in the spring and there are these green buds popping up through the ground again. Signs of resurrection and new life of God creating, right? This week we heard on the news about Malala returning to Pakistan. Now this is a young girl. I mean, she's just barely 20. And when she was even younger, she was calling for the education of girls in her country. And because of this, those who thought they had power attempted to kill her. They thought they had. They shot her in the head. But somehow she survived that. But that was okay. There was not much thought that she would be any trouble now. They flew her to England, where she's been for some time, while she travels around the world and continues to talk about the need for girls' education. I think they thought, well, she won't have much effect on us there. She's afraid of us. She'll never return. And here she is, returning to their country. To me, this is signs of God's continuing creation of life and recreation of life, of resurrection and transformation, of possibility and opportunity, right? This morning on the news, I heard about a young kid called Jamari Stiles. I don't know if anybody who watches the news shows on the morning. All Jamari wants to do is play basketball. But when he was a baby, he had a bacterial infection that caused the loss of most of his arms. One up to here and the other one down here at the elbow. And yet he still wants to play basketball. And so he would stand at the court's edge down at the playground waiting to be chosen, looked over again and again and again. So when he gets to junior high, he goes right to the coach and he says, I want to play basketball. I want to be on the team. Well, the coach is kind enough to say, well, you can try out. Everybody can try out for the team. But in his head, he's thinking, he's got no arms. But what he discovered is that he was the most faithful to practice. He'd get there first. He would dribble as best he could. He would shoot as best he could. And ultimately, the coach decided for that reason, he could be on the team. He sat most of the season on the bench. Even though he tried every week, practiced every week with them, he still sat on the bench. Until the last game of the season, the coach decides in the last few minutes of the game to put him in. Y'all know what happens, right? They get him the ball, and he shoots. 3 points. A few more minutes later, they get him the ball again. He shoots. 3 points. They win the game. God's big April Fool's joke on all of us, right? When we think life is over and ended, God says no. Or more importantly, God says yes. Yes to life. Yes to creation, yes to redemption, yes to resurrection, yes to transformation. God does this. So on this Easter morning, I'm not going to worry you with what the women thought or what the disciples thought, what they believed or didn't believe. What I want you to know is that God is about resurrection. God is about life. God is about forgiveness and peace. God is about moving forward, even when things are dark and bleak and fearful and crazy. Have I described our world yet? Easter is about what God is doing in the world. For us. With us. Amen? Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.